Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and today, well, it's a real good day for us to talk about people who have taken the time to share some of their experiences with us through the form of the written word. And a lady by the name of Lynn Clapel put all of these stories together, and they're true stories of hope, courage, and inspiration, and the book is titled Overcomers, Inc. Now, Lynn, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thanks, Donna. I'm really glad to be with you today.
Now, give us a little bit of history about you. How long have you been writing? What made you decide you wanted to put this book together? Give us a little bit of information about yourself and your background.
Sure, I'd be glad to. I wrote my first book, in 2003. I wrote a self-help book for women whose husbands were out of work as a way to kind of grow a coaching practice that I was working on. And since then, I've written a few other books, but I tell you, I was going through a really, really rough time last year. My dad, my mom, and my younger brother all had cancer at the same time.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I know. It was just mind-boggling. And I thought, you know, if I should give my brother a book to read during chemo, but he wouldn't have liked any of the books I had written so far because they were all girl books.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, he needs something short and easy, sort of like Chicken Soup for the Soul. I should put together a book that's like that, but especially to help people feel hope during hard times. So he was the inspiration for the book.
Well, I would say this is a perfect time for your stories that you're sharing because so many people right now are going through very difficult times. But to have so many members of your family be hit with this kind of a physiological condition, that is really just mind-boggling. So I'm sure that in the process of doing this, you really experienced some upliftment of your own.
You know, I really did. I think that book helped me more than it's helped anybody else because the stories were all so positive and uplifting that they really helped me keep my mindset where it should be.
You have a wonderful quote right at the beginning of your book that is by Carl Jung, who's one of my favorite people. We deem those happy who from experience of life have learned to bear its ills without being overcome by them. I think that that statement by Carl Jung is so appropriate. This man went through depression, went all through all kinds of things, and he left a phenomenal legacy that still has an imprint on our thinking for today. And I don't see how anyone that, in my positioning of observation, worth their salt, has ever had a so-called idyllic perfect life. I haven't met anybody yet. Have you?
No, I really haven't. Every life has a bunch of challenges, and some of them are more difficult than others, but it's just, I think, part of our evolution as people that we've got to face hard things and get through them.
I agree. Now, let's talk about the very first story that you have in your book. It's by Mary Hayes Bridges. When tough times hit, there is always hope. Now, some people don't like to use the word hope. They say, oh, it just doesn't mean anything. It's like it's giving false promises. Why was this not the case with Mary Hayes Bridges, and why does hope mean so much to Mary?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked about that story because it's one of my very favorites, Donna. Mary grew up with a big dream as a little girl, and she really wanted to become an astronaut. So she worked hard all the way through school. She was accepted into the Air Force Academy in only the second class that accepted female students. So
wow.
She was well on her way to meeting her goal when she had this accident during training. You know, just hurt her knee, had to have some minor surgery. Well, a tragedy happened. unbeknownst to Mary or to the physician, the surgeon doing the surgery on her knee had a brain tumor that impaired his judgment, and he used a medication improperly, and it almost killed her. And she spent the next 25 years in and out of the hospital. She lost her ability to walk. Her organs failed. She actually had over 20 surgeries during this time. So obviously she couldn't become an astronaut. And she was in the hospital for just years and years. And one of the Apollo astronauts heard of her story through the Air Force Academy and started coming to visit her, which was just a wonderful blessing for Mary. And when he'd come to visit her, he'd say, "Okay, Mary, you've got to pick a goal. You can't be an astronaut, but what can you do?" And he always bugged her to get a bigger goal because, you know, her first goal was to walk again, and nope, that wasn't enough. So finally, in exasperation, she said, "Okay, my goal is to walk up Pike's Peak on my own 2 feet." And he said, "Okay, that's big enough." You know, she actually did it. It took her 20 years, lots and lots of surgeries and practices and therapy, but she was able to walk again and make it up to the top of Pike's Peak. So during that 25 years, she really could have become an extremely bitter person because what happened to her was not her fault. It was a terrible mistake. It ruined all of the plans that she had for her life. But instead, Mary decided that she was going to get through this as a champion. So she gave herself a new definition of hope: happiness, optimism, perseverance, and endurance. And with those four things, she built a wonderful life for herself.
Yes, she did. So right off the bat, that's the very first thing that greets you. So if you ever have an attitude about hope, or someone says, "What a wasteful word hope is. It just means nothing but empty air." Believe me, I've heard people say this. Hope represents something. It's not mindlessness when you're hopeful. It means that you have something inside of you that says go for the gold, if you will. And I think Mary's story is a profound one. Let's move ahead to Nancy. I love stories about people. This is something that for me always, from as far back as I can remember, I have always enjoyed stories like this because bad things happen to good people, just like what we've talked about. It doesn't make any difference. They happen. Situations happen. And life can be really stinking stuff at times. It's what you do with it that makes the difference. Now, Nancy is a woman that was 100 pounds overweight. Tell us her story.
Nancy tried every diet under the sun. And like many of us, she'd lose a few pounds, they would come back with some more. Her weight was the biggest problem of her life. And she finally got to the point that I call the point of disgust, where you get to the bottom of a situation and you're so sick of it that you decide, okay, no more, I'm going to fix this. So she put herself on a very disciplined eating program where she measured all of her food, and she followed her doctor's advice, and it took her quite a few years, but she lost all of her weight. And, you know, she weighed and measured her food at her wedding. She never stopped at all with her commitment to healthy eating. And interestingly, Nancy found that all of a sudden some of her relationships changed. She had been the fat friend for so many years and never realized that people kind of took her for granted, and she was a doormat to a lot of people. So losing that weight helped her really see how she could be more confident and more powerful and treat herself better so that the people in her world treated her better.
What I found interesting is that she was so committed to this that she took a scale with her to a restaurant.
I know, all the time.
She's sitting there with a scale at the table and saying, "This I'm weighing." Can you imagine what people would have said to her? They would have said, "You know, my dear, you have become an eccentric."
Yeah.
And
but most of us
lost 106 pounds.
Mm-hmm. She was willing to do whatever it took to get rid of that excess weight.
And one of the things that she said, which I feel is so important, because it boils down to personal responsibility. I don't know about you, but I get so weary of the victim mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And she took charge of her own space and didn't put blame on anybody or anything, really stood tall for what she needed to do for herself. And she was so disciplined about this. I mean, I have nothing but admiration for her. She said, every person has to take action for themselves and no one else. She couldn't lose weight for anybody else. She could only focus on what she needed to put into her mouth without regard to anyone else. Now, what I thought was funny is that her husband, she said he wasn't even her husband when she started the food plan. He had to take care of himself.
Yeah, now, she didn't even cook for him.
She said, sorry, you're on your own. This is my agenda. This is what I'm doing. Now, when she met him, do you know anything about their interaction? Because they weren't married at the time she started this. So
were
they dating?
I think she met him kind of midway through the process. Because it took her, I believe, 2 or 3 years to lose all the weight. And she met him after she had lost some weight.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of knew when he started the relationship with her that she was on this very committed track to becoming a healthy person and a slim person. So I guess he kind of wasn't surprised that he signed up for the ride.
Yes, that's true. And one of the things she found out with her body is that sugar, flour, dairy, and wheat did not serve her well.
Isn't that interesting? I've been hearing so many other people say that those four products really bother them and get their metabolism all out of whack.
Mm-hmm. That's really fascinating stuff. So this is a wonderful story for any of you that are out there that maybe constantly, and I know I've had my share of the battle with the bulge. So when you read stories about someone like this who is this committed to what she's doing, and she took on the responsibility herself, it is absolutely awesome. Now, let's talk for a moment about the call to trust and to believe in healing love. Lele Gutierrez.
Oh, yes.
She is just a doll, and she was going home to the Philippines, which was not a good time in her life. That's her home. And tell us her story.
This is one of the most mysterious and remarkable stories in the book. This woman lived in the Philippines. She was from the upper class in the Philippines, highly educated. She was a counselor and a psychologist. Her husband was very involved in politics, and the political situation in the Philippines at that time was extremely corrupt. So she did not disagree with what he was doing. Their marriage was very troubled. They had a couple of small children, and she would just pray and pray that God would give her some kind of way to make a better life for herself and her children. Her husband was doing all these bad things. She knew about it. She couldn't do anything. She was involved with the political faction in the Philippines that was trying to help the people get more power for themselves and get away from corruption. So, you know, here we've got a very politically divided couple.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one day she woke up from a dream, and she just sensed that she had to get out of the Philippines. And she was a woman of extreme faith, so she felt like God was telling her to leave, and leave immediately and not tell anyone that she was going because she was in danger. And part of the reason she was supposed to leave was to take a group of people who were in political danger to Canada for resettlement. So she left, like to go. She was going to work, and she didn't say goodbye to her children. She didn't say goodbye to her parents, anyone that she loved. She did exactly what her soul was telling her to do. She got on an airplane with 25 people she'd never met before, took them to Canada, and then didn't know what to do next. Well, a series of miracles happened all along the way, and she ended up in the United States. She was already a PhD-level psychologist in the Philippines, so she went back to school here. Many people helped her. She ended up meeting a man also from the Philippines, whom she'd known through some of her advocacy work. They married. You know, she, over the course of many years, she built a wonderful life for herself here in the United States, but she couldn't have any contact with her children. If she would go back to the Philippines, she probably would have been jailed. Her husband, of course, had divorced her and said terrible things about her to her children. So she figured out a way in her own mind and heart to meditate very deeply and felt like she could pray and send healing energy to her children and try to parent them through spirit. And after many years, things settled down. She was able to reestablish contact with her kids. They were older at that time and then could finally begin to understand that their mother hadn't abandoned them, but she had been sent on a very difficult mission by her spirit. So it all turned out beautifully. She has a good relationship now with her children. She was able to go back to the Philippines for both of their weddings, but it was definitely an extreme sacrifice.
Really fascinating, fascinating story. And that leads me into one of your other stories, When Intuition Calls, Answer the Phone. And this is by Reverend Rita Mikaela Herring, or Mikaela Herring, and this is a woman that obviously has mediumship talents, and she got messages that she had to go to Germany, of all places. Now, what happened with this? Because when you get that kind of a calling, it's pretty hard to avoid it, and obviously she didn't.
You know, it was such an interesting story. Rita's parents were from Germany, and Rita grew up here in the United States, but she had German relatives that she'd never met, and her grandmother was in Germany. Well, when she was a young woman in her late 20s, she just had these psychic messages that she had to go to Germany. And her mom did not want her to go, which was very odd. And other people didn't want her to go, but through a series of kind of miraculous events, the money was provided for her, a traveling companion was provided. She went to Germany. She found her grandmother, who the family in the United States thought was perfectly fine. Her grandmother was in a really bad situation. She had very poor health. She was in a nursing home that wasn't a very nice place. Her room was kind of mentally ill and was really frightening to the grandmother. So this poor little old lady sat on her bed all day long, feeling afraid and scared. And when Rita was there and found out about the situation, she was able to, you know, get her grandmother in a nicer place, in a private room, get her some of her things around her, and really help her out. And it was all just an intuition that she had to go to Germany and help her grandmother.
Yes, and what ended up happening is that she ended up finding a fabulous place for her grandmother. Mm-hmm. And her grandmother was so contented, and she told her, she said, when one is content, one is very, very happy. And her grandmother lived to be 100 years old.
Yeah.
And because of the granddaughter, she was able to have that in her final years of life. I read my notes in the book. I said, I love the grandma story.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is so important. Now, Lynn, you've got your own story in here, and you called it the waiting room miracle. Jacob, your son, was 6 years old. He had to go in for surgery. Tell us the story.
You know, oddly enough, this is another story related to cancer. My little boy, Jacob, had a tumor on his leg that was about the size of an egg, and it stuck out pretty much from his shin bone. The doctors couldn't really figure out what it was. They were very concerned that it was cancer, so they decided he needed some surgery at the Children's Hospital in the city where I live. Well, Jacob's father and I had been divorced for many, many years because Jacob's father had bipolar disorder, and while we were married, he became increasingly mentally ill and was very abusive verbally, and all kinds of very bad things happened. So anyway, we divorced. It was pretty dramatic. I had a lot of victim mentality. Oh, you know, I lost my home. I lost my job. I lost all these things because this bad man did all these bad things to me. I've had a lot of bitterness in my heart for 6 years. And when Jacob had this surgery, of course, I had to inform his father, and I had to spend time in the waiting room with him. And I was scared to death. I was angry. I was bitter. I was still in that victim consciousness. And I was afraid that we would have a knockdown, drag-out argument, because every time we were in the same room, it was very argumentative. So I prayed. And I prayed and I prayed that some sort of peace would descend on me and that everything would be okay, not only for Jacob, but between his father and I. And the most interesting thing happened. This feeling of relaxation and peace just kind of entered my heart. And his dad and I had our actual first genuine conversation in probably 10 years. And we were able to talk about what happened in our marriage and apologize, both parties. I apologized for what I had done, back and forth. Forgiveness was given. And it was a wonderful miracle. And right after that conversation came to a close, the physician came in and said, it was just a fatty tumor. Your little boy's going to be just fine. So we got two miracles that day. Jacob was all right, and some of that bitterness that was so deep within my soul was able to be healed because we had a forgiving conversation.
You have, I feel, a very touching story titled When the Rain Falls by Paula Morand. And this is about her life, and she's in Liberia. How did you and Paula connect?
Paula is a fascinating woman. She actually is based in Canada, but she travels all over the world to third world countries to help people. In fact, I just talked to her today, and she's just coming back from Cuba, of all places, where she's been for the past 2 months. When Paula was a young woman, she married a man who was a little bit older than she was. They were extremely happy together, and they had a little boy. Her husband worked at a large hotel, and he was beaten and robbed one day, unfortunately, when he was working the overnight shift. And this trauma caused him to become extremely mentally ill. And many years of therapy were not helpful. He ended up becoming very, very dangerous, tried to attack a coworker. It was bad. So he had to be hospitalized. Paula divorced him. And eventually he killed himself. And this was heartbreaking to Paula, of course, as it would be. And she realized over the course of this time that she wanted to help other people. She had so much support wrapped around her during her tragic times that she was determined to heal her own wounds by reaching out to help others. So she started raising money to travel to Africa and to help poor people in her community. And she really felt like she had a rainstorm in her life, a thunderstorm that shook everything up and ruined it. But just like rain comes to a desert, it brought beautiful things. And it really did resolve very nicely. And today she's doing very well. Her son is happy and well-adjusted. And she's met a new man and has a new relationship with him that is very uplifting and positive.
A very powerful statement in your book that is by Catherine Van Wetter. It's about trauma. She said, trauma leaves a visceral memory in every cell of your body. The sight, sound, smells, and physical surroundings become acutely highlighted. Years can pass, and unless resolved and released from the body, the traumatic incident will continue to catapult one back into the moment that it originally occurred. That is the beginning of her story. And tell us what happened with Catherine.
You know, Donna, Catherine's story is really fascinating. When she was a very young girl, I believe she was 6 years old, her younger sister died of leukemia. And it destroyed her family. You know, that her parents were overcome with grief. And Catherine kind of just got left on her own while her parents were, left on her own emotionally, while her parents were struggling with the grief of losing their child. It ended up that the parents divorced. Catherine always felt deep down inside of her that she failed her little sister and didn't protect her. And it led Catherine to grow up in a very troubled way. She had an eating disorder. She was involved in substance abuse. Her whole life was just messed up in every way, shape, and form. And she finally was so desperate for help that she checked into a treatment center where she stayed for many, many months, I believe about 6 months. And at that treatment center, she was finally able to heal from her eating disorders and her substance abuse issues and get in touch with the deep trauma of her life, which she tried to run away from for many years, and that was the loss of her little sister. That healing and the wonderful therapy that she got at that treatment center led her to many years of study. She's now a master's level social worker, and she specializes in helping families deal with trauma and stay together. So she's done a wonderful job of becoming a servant to other people who were going through some of the same challenges that she experienced as a child and young woman.
You have so many good stories in your book, and one of them that I wanted to touch upon was the one Awakening to Her True Self. And there's a great quote that you have right at the beginning of the story by Colleen Russell. She who would find a new land must lose sight of the shore for a very long time. And I thought that is a pretty good description. Sometimes we have to be out there paddling in the ocean of life without any compass or anything that really guides us, and we need to develop ourselves and discover our strengths and our capabilities. Colleen's story, share it with us.
Colleen was another woman who had a remarkable thing happen to her that was very devastating. She and her husband and children were on a ski trip on Christmas Eve, and her husband had a massive heart attack and dropped dead right there on the slopes. Of course, this was a terrible shock to everyone, very devastating for the family. Some months later, their son, who was a teen when his father passed away so suddenly, got extremely involved with heroin. And Colleen tried everything she could to help him, but he was not willing to be helped or go into treatment. And so she essentially kind of lost her son to drug abuse. She lost her job. She was in therapy for many years, and her therapist finally said, "I can't do any more with you." So she lost pretty much everything and every important relationship, and she had no earthly idea what to do next. The only thing that kept occurring to her was her grandmother was Irish, and she always talked about how wonderful Ireland was. So for some reason, Colleen thought, "I need to go to Ireland." It didn't make sense to her, but she, at that point, had nothing more to lose. So she sold her house, she put everything in storage, and she arranged to go to Ireland for 3 months. She went to a healing center there for a while, and then she rented a cottage on a very lonely island. In off tourist season, yes, it was the winter, and it was stormy, and it was cold, and she holed up in this little cottage. And wouldn't you know it, the woman who was the landlord of this cottage lived nearby, and she was a widow. And she reached out to Colleen and served her endless cups of tea and talked with her and helped her figure out how she could navigate this new life as a single person and rebuild to something special. So she really got a healing there in Ireland. And when she went back to the United States, she ended up settling in the same ski town where her husband had his heart attack. She didn't really know why, but something told her she was supposed to live there. And she started working with teens to really help them have a good life and resist drug abuse and, you know, be able to function well in society. She met a gentleman who also shared her passion for working with youth, and now they do seminars and workshops and help at-risk teens. So she found a new life for herself as well, like all the other folks did in the book.
Wonderful publication. Overcomers, Inc., Lynn Klopel is my guest. These are real stories about real people that have gone through major challenges. And sometimes it's good to read about people and to see what paths they have walked and the choices that they have made and how they were able to come into an understanding of themselves. Now, she's got a website, overcomersbook.com, overcomersbook.com. Lynn, it's been a delight having you as a guest today. Thank you so much for being with me.
Thank you, Donna. It's been wonderful to talk with you.
The stories, they are true stories of hope, courage, and inspiration. If you know of somebody that would like to be inspired, this is a good book to give to them so that they can add it to their library. Get one for yourself at the same time. Good idea. This is Donna Sebo, again, overcomersbook.com. Lynn Klippel, K-L-I-P-P-E-L, has been my guest. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756 is the toll-free telephone number. And again is 888-815-9756. And the email newsletter is going to be coming out as of June the 1st. My goodness, that's just around the corner. And so if you would like to get your free copy, all you have to do is send me an email to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I, International.com. And if you want to be on the email list, that's great. But also, if you've had a story regarding the paranormal, whether it's a ghost visitation or something very unique, maybe you have a capacity of communicating with animals and you've had some special experiences with that, I'd love to hear about them. I'm putting together 100 stories, and I would like to hear yours. So send that along in your email as well, and we'll be putting it in the file. We are growing with our stories here, and yours could be in there too. And be sure to put your contact information in. When you are sending me an email about the paranormal or about being added to the email list, be sure to put something in the subject line for me, because I would love to have that identification there. So I get so many emails, it's so much easier when I can go through like that and can identify things, then I can pull them out quickly. Donna Sebo here. If you call in and want to chat with me today, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. And remember, after that, I love to tell you what I perceive. It's my gift to you as a listener. And then, of course, I love to know where you're calling from, too. So that's all I need. And then you're welcome to ask a question about anything that is significant to you, about another person, place, situation, condition, it doesn't make any difference. I receive so many wonderful stories and comments by different people, and I wanted to share this one, and it's by Roy Williams. Roy Williams is considered one of the leading people in training others how to use advertising effectively. He is known as the Wizard of Ads, And I got something from him that I really liked, and it was titled Opportunity. He said, every door of opportunity begins as a window in the mind. Look through that window of imagination and glimpse a world that could be, should be, ought to be someday. Keep looking and watch it grow into the door of opportunity through which you can pass into an entirely different future. Opportunity never knocks. It hangs thick in the air all around you. You breathe it, unthinking, and dissipate it with your sighs. Opportunity never knocks. It appears flickering like faulty neon at a nondescript fork in the road. Opportunity never knocks. It whispers a tickle in your distracted mind. I like that. Opportunity never knocks. It whispers a tickle in your distracted mind. Roy Williams. So many times we will watch other people, we go to seminars, and we say, gee whiz, what's wrong with me? It just doesn't seem to work. And I can recall many different experiences that I have been through myself, and I'd be so happy for other people's success, and I would say, why is it that what they do doesn't work for me? If you are like I have been, you get this little template of type, and you go, wow, that worked for B over here, and it worked for G over there. I wonder if it would work for me. You try on the template, you find, just doesn't fit. Well, so often that is the case. The reason that happens is because life is not a straight line. It really isn't. And you are an individual. And it's just like nutrition. 20 people can take a nutritional supplement, and you'll get a different response in every single body. Some persons will find that particular nutrient is absorbed very well. Others, it'll go through just like water. Doesn't have any effect on them. Why? Their metabolism, their internal organs work differently. Well, it's the same thing with thinking and with living life. Now, we all have templates that we're given on one level or another that we follow to a degree that it works for us. But when it comes to really following our passion and being aware of what our strengths are and our weaknesses are, that's a whole different kettle of fish. That is a do-it-yourself project, and there are not any shortcuts. So what I like to encourage people to do is, if you're sort of sitting in a spot where you feel like you're stuck, and you really don't know what your options are, and that can happen to any of us. You can have opportunity sitting right out on your front porch and not even be able to recognize it because you can't see what you cannot perceive. You are not going to be able, you can look at something. Have you ever lost something? Have you ever had something in your hand 1 minute and the next minute you say, for the life of me, I can't find it. I just had it in my hand. Where did I put it? How many times have you said to yourself, it's right under my nose, I know it is, and I'm going to find it? And you do. And you'll say, isn't this silly? Why is it I couldn't see it? It was right there in front of me. Well, it's one of those things that occurs. Sometimes we're so close to something, we're blinded. If you take your hand and you put it out in front of you, you can see the lines in your hand, right? Hold your hand up. You can see the lines in your hand. Now bring that hand close to you. Bring it up to your nose. Can you see the lines in your hand? If you can, if your eyes allow you to do that, you can only see a small portion. Why? Because you're right up against it. Well, it's the same thing sometimes with challenges. We're so close, we're so involved, that many times we need to be able to stand back, detach, be able to let go and give ourselves some space so we can see clearly what's in front of us. Sometimes it's letting go of that emotional attachment of urgency. There's all kinds of levels, so I'm just tossing that out. So remember, as you go through life, there's a lot of things around you that if you will just be mindfully present of where you are in any given moment, take some deep breaths, just sort of get into the breathing a little bit, center yourself, then all of a sudden things will start go in, they will start going into a flow. It's amazing. It really is amazing. We human beings do some very interesting things, and one of the subjects that I wanted to just chat about for a few minutes is doodling. People communicate through writing and through drawing in some very interesting ways. I learned many years ago, if I wanted to see what my daughter's mood was, to observe her, maybe give her an assignment, and say, draw a picture for me, and put out all kinds of crayons and see what colors she used. And amazingly, children, even when they're quite small, they can be 3, 4, 5 years of age, they will be able to convey what they feel through the crayons and through their drawings, even though it may appear to your eye to be rather crude. All you have to do is pay attention. Well, doodling is one of those things that adults frequently do, and young people do it as well. It can really give an insight into a person when you see what they do. Now, if someone is drawing circles, well, apparently the brain is wired to find circles meaningful. The subconscious associates the human face with it. Remember the happy face, the yellow happy face? My goodness, when that came out, that just was so popular. It still is. You'll find all kinds of things with happy faces, with all kinds of different images associated with those happy faces. It means you're searching for connections. When you're drawing circles like that, you're curious, you're optimistic, and you're also very philosophical. You like to do introspection. You're not afraid of going to the deeper level. Now, if you're a person, when you're doodling, you're doing zigzags, all kinds of zigzags, you are really doing sort of a wake-up. It's like you're trying to stimulate yourself. You get bored, and so what you want to do is to stimulate your mind and your actions. So the zigzagging patterning is a thinking patterning. Now, if you like geometric shapes, triangles, rectangles, well, that means you like control. You really like to have things in order. You want to be the leader. You want to have focus on what you do and get things done and in place. Now, what if you'd like to draw flowers? Doesn't make any difference what kind of flower. Well, you have a tremendous imagination. You like to get in touch with the right brain, artistic side of yourself, and flowers make you feel good. There's something about flowers that's just absolutely invigorating. My husband often jokingly says, especially during spring, because I just love flowers. It's a joy to me when we're out walking about to see the iris, the lilac, the rhodies. Here in the Pacific Northwest, the flowers are just gorgeous. He said, it's something with you gals. He said, with we guys, we think, a flower, that's nice. You've seen one, you've seen them all. But he said, with you gals, it's like, wow, every flower has something special to say about it. And I think that's very true. I think in general, that is very important. But I've known a lot of men that enjoy flowers too. But you like being outside. If you love flowers, you really like being out of doors, you like walking. If this is what you doodle, it's an expression of how beauty is very important to you and in your environment. Now, what if you like to do abstract shapes? Yes, not unlike fractals. Well, you like thinking outside the box. Thinking outside the box is a part of your nature. And you really like spontaneity. You like to be able to bring things together that seemingly wouldn't fit at all. Twists and turns. You like unique environments. You like unique thoughts. You like, again, saying, what if? What if I could do it? And then if you like drawing faces, if you like to doodle the eyes, the nose, or a mouth, you like to put things together. You're a problem solver. Have you ever seen in margins of books outlines of faces that somebody's drawn, or maybe they put a happy face on there, or maybe they've got a special nose and eyes that wink? Well, that means that you're a problem solver. Doodling the face shows how you can read people also. You have good insight to them. So if you've ever doodled or you observe people doodling, this can give you an insight to them. Also, don't forget, with kids, it gives you an insight into how they feel, why they are maybe upset, and I'll tell you, with little ones, it's a great way to find out what's going on in their lives because they will draw it out. And then you can talk to them about it, find out what's going on with them. Fascinating tool. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. We're going to be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, we have a wonderful holiday weekend coming up. And if you're like me, Sunday mornings are a great time to have a real special brunch or breakfast. And that's one of my joys. That's one of the few times that I will get busy cooking and getting things done. Well, I've got a recipe here for an apple pecan upside down cake that is really simple to make, but oh, not only does it smell good, but it tastes good. Now, I know you've heard of the pineapple upside down cake. Well, why not try something that's a little bit different? Of course, apples are really big here in the Pacific Northwest. But apple pecans, and if you don't like pecans, you can use walnuts. So I will share that with you. So get yourself a pad of paper and a pen or pencil, and so I'll share that with you in just a moment. I was having an argument with someone. Well, it wasn't really an argument. It was a discussion. And what it was about was viruses. And in my mind, viruses are a life form. Well, according to some people, viruses are not alive. Now, when I came across this information, I really had to chuckle because according to most information, viruses aren't alive. They don't have cells. They cannot turn food into energy. And without a host, they're just an inert packet of chemicals. Okay? So for those of you that are scientifically oriented, you go, yes, that's right. Well, guess what? They're not exactly dead either. Get this information. Viruses have genes, they reproduce, and they evolve through natural selection. If that isn't a form of life, I don't know what is. Well, scientists, just like me and my friend, were debating this. They started actually debating about this in 1892, when Dmitry Ivanovsky, who is a Russian microbiologist, reported that an infection in tobacco plants spreads via something smaller than a bacterium. And, of course, that is known today as the tobacco mosaic virus. And it is amazing. If you had a photo of this virus, it has basically what looks like three lines with seams down their middle. Now, that is for the team for the non-living aspect. Then an American biochemist, Wendell Stanley, purified the tobacco mosaic virus into needle-like crystals of protein. That's right. And in 1946, he won a Nobel Prize, and it was awarded in chemistry, not in medicine. So that was a score for the team for the living. Now, some viruses, they've found, sneak DNA into a bacterium through its sexual appendage. You're hearing me correctly. They've got one. Don't tell me it's not a form of life. Now, it's a long tube known as a pilus, and if that isn't a demonstration that this is a form of life, I don't know what else would be. Now, the virus comes from the Latin word, or virus itself, the word, comes from the Latin for poison or slimy liquid. And it's this wonderful, wonderful character that gives us all the common colds and flus and everything else. Now, in 1992, scientists tracked a pneumonia outbreak in England. They found a massive new kind of virus that was lurking inside an amoeba inside a cooling tower. Can you get all of that? Can you wrap your mind around that? It's amazing. It was so large and complex, they thought it was a bacterium. Well, now it's called a mimivirus because it mimics bacteria, and there was a genome that was sequenced and said, you know, it's Mimi the amoeba. It contains more than 900 genes, which encode proteins that all other viruses manage to do without. Its genome is twice as big as any other known virus and bigger than any of the bacteria that we know. So there is so much information that we're becoming aware of, and what people said, I'm sorry, it's dead. They're finding it's very much alive. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. So there's so much more about this intriguing thing that gives us all of these bugs that we really have an unpleasant time with. Well, getting past the bugs, let's talk about something that's going to satisfy your tummy and your taste buds and make everyone around you smile. Now, this is really a winner. This is what you're going to need. Got that pad of paper and pen? Here we go. You're going to pour the apple pecan upside down cake. Now, remember, you can substitute your favorite nut. I'd go with walnuts. That's my favorite over pecans. Pecans are delicious. My husband loves them. He's a southern boy, and that's one of his favorites. But I also would say if you like almonds, try them with almonds. Don't be afraid to try things with recipes. But this is simple. 1 2-ounce package of chopped nuts. Chopped pecans is for this recipe. You need 1/4 cup of butter. That should be at room temperature. And 1 cup of light brown sugar and 2 Granny Smith apples. You want to peel them, core them, and dice them up. Now, you're going to need other ingredients for the cake itself. You're going to need 1 cup of flour, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 1 cup of flour, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon of cinnamon, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 6 tablespoons of butter, 3/4 cup of sugar, 1 egg, 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla, and 6 tablespoons of milk or cream. I recommend the cream. If you're going to do this, do it with the good stuff. Now, this is what you need. For the topping, toast your nuts at 450 degrees until they're lightly browned, about 10 minutes. And then you want to put your butter in a small saucepan. You add your brown sugar and cook it until the sugar is melted. And you've got to watch your sugar because it'll burn easily. And you pour your butter-sugar mixture into a 9-inch round cake pan and spread it to coat the bottom. I'd suggest you spray with a nonstick cooking spray the pan before you put anything in it. Sprinkle your chopped pecans over the top of the butter sugar mixture. Place your apples in concentric circles, slightly overlapping, over the nuts. Cake. Your flour, baking powder, cinnamon, and salt, sift it, put it in a bowl. Beat the butter until it's light and fluffy. Add your sugar. Continue to beat 3 to 5 minutes. Add your egg and vanilla, and continue to beat until incorporated. Then reduce your speed. Add the flour mixture and your cream, alternating. Continue to mix only until the dry ingredients are completely mixed in. Spoon your cake batter over the topping. Spread it carefully so the batter is even. Bake it at 325 until your tester comes out clean. It'll take about 55 minutes. Let it cool in the pan, and then carefully run your spatula around the edge of the pan and let it stand another 10 to 15 minutes. Then invert your pan over a large plate and let it stand about 3 minutes. Serve it warm with fresh whipped cream. Yum. On that note, yes, we'll be back with you on Monday. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. Have a phenomenal holiday weekend. I'll be back here, same time, same place, right here on BBSRadio.com. Be safe, be well. Talk to you on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.